Hey there, this is Anish Majumdar, career coach. Get ready for something transformative with Aubrey Johnson and The Road to Rediscovery.
Our lives are laid out on a road of bumps, turns, struggles, and more. How do we respond? How do we endure adversity for learning and growth? I'm Aubrey Johnson, and we'll explore these questions and more on The Road to Rediscovery. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Road to Rediscovery. I'm your host, Aubrey Johnson. The Road to Rediscovery is about reflecting on life lessons to learn and grow from them, and of course, pay it forward and uplift others who are struggling through dark times. I'm very excited to share with you that the Stand store is now officially open. That's right, inspired by the podcast and the insights from our many amazing guests, we have all sorts of resources targeting your personal growth. From free e-guides to ebooks to the full-blown digital course, the Rediscovery Roadmap. Tell you, these resources will really help you get on the road to overcoming adversity and realizing your true potential. Just visit us at stand.store/road to rediscovery. And we are always, always so grateful for your listenership. All right. My special guest is a functional nutritionist, wellness expert, and founder of Soul Hacker, an online community designed to enhance energy, mental clarity, and inner peace through accessible tools to inner healing. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome Danielle Pashko to the show. Danielle, welcome. It's so great to have you here.
Hi, it's nice to be here. Thank you.
Oh, no, absolutely. Absolutely. We are thrilled to have you here. Can't wait to unpack just some incredible insights when it comes to inner health. So if you can start us off, Danielle, by just giving us a glimpse into your journey and your experiences that inspired you to be a champion of nutrition and inner health.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have an event that happens that brings them to getting into this work. For me, it started during childhood. I had a sick mother. She was very sick with breast cancer when I was about 8 years old. And she, as part of her healing, she started doing visualization and meditation, following a macrobiotic diet, reading a lot of amazing books that have now become popularized. And unfortunately, she didn't make it, but she left me with these tools. And she passed away when I was 13. And at that time, I felt like I never wanted anyone to suffer like she did. And I started off, I studied with a healer when I was 18 years old, and I ended up becoming a Reiki therapist and a polarity therapist, and I got my massage license, and then became a yoga instructor, and then got my degree in nutrition and started working in functional medicine and doing all of that. And then I got sick. So yeah, I was a picture of health, and then I had major health challenges myself. So not only was I a practitioner, I became the patient. So I work in this field through the lens of both.
Yeah.
And, you know, I really can have empathy for people who are suffering because I think everything that I'm really good at is probably not just because I learned it in school, but because I've lived it.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah. So I continue to walk this journey. And I think now, because I'm feeling really well, thank God. And, you know, I had the right tools to be able to get to my own healing that I just want to share it with the world.
Man, that's fantastic. And having the unique position in which you are in, having experienced both sides and immersed experience on both sides, you know, with what you're doing to champion and help people heal and sharing resources and tools with them, as well as the experience of being sick, right? That's tremendous as well. And so while, you know, I've read about your many different tools and offerings that is, that you have available for your clients and so forth. One thing that fascinated me, Danielle, was the, martial arts, the internal versus the external martial arts. And so, growing up, I had an original impression of martial arts, see a lot of it being physical, which is the external part, but there is a deep immersive internal piece as well. And so if you can just share some insight for the listener's benefit on just the differences between internal and external martial arts, and, you know, how can one benefit from internal martial arts from a health perspective?
Yeah. So now I actually practice internal and external martial arts, but when I first started practicing the internal martial arts, I was strictly using it as a tool for healing. And those martial arts were, well, Tai Chi, which is more of a martial form, and Qigong is not so martial. It's Qi cultivation. Qi means energy. So yes. when you're getting acupuncture, you're moving Qi throughout the body, throughout the meridians, the energy channels. And I was really in bad shape when I first started. I mean, I had been very physically fit. And at this point, I had Lyme and I had long COVID and I had trouble even functioning and leaving the house. And I had a lot of dizziness and heart palpitations and just really didn't have a lot of stamina to do much. So I said, let me start with Tai Chi and Qigong because I knew it was softer. Had I not been sick, I probably would have gone right into the Kung Fu, which is what I do. Tai Chi is actually Kung Fu. It's a slow Kung Fu.
Okay.
Yes. So I use these practices to help with, they really help with grounding, which is really getting rooted. And when people are not feeling well, whether it is a chronic condition or just anxiety, so many people have anxiety or ADHD or different things going on and they're all over the place.
Yeah.
Grounded, especially in our chaotic world, is very important. So I found this amazing teacher and we started working together in the park and we got the elements in of being in nature, which is so healing.
Yes.
And doing a lot of the grounding and starting to build up the chi, the life force, and also doing Qigong, which works on the five elements. So for example, if you are working on the earth element, that is connected to the organs, the stomach and the spleen. Mm-hmm. And what does that mean in terms of emotion? So stomach and spleen also have to do with like excessive worry. And so strengthening those organs or doing the Qigong can help you with a lot of worry or even with fatigue. And then we work on maybe the next organ, which was the kidneys, which is fear, or liver, which is anger. And you could do all of these through doing Qigong movements. And it's pretty magical how much I built up my strength and it really encouraged my healing. I think everyone who has a chronic condition should really practice. Even if you have something like Parkinson's or very limited mobility, you can do this for even sitting and it makes a difference.
Amazing. And if you don't mind, I'm going to be a little selfish here for the benefit of a loved one that I know that has a chronic case of this. But I'm sure you're familiar with fibromyalgia.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I see a lot of fibromyalgia.
Yeah. Yeah. But it is feasible for someone.
Fibromyalgia. And I'm sure this person that you're talking about also, I would imagine, has fatigue as well.
Yes.
Usually it goes hand in hand. You have chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia. They're kind of like intertwined.
Yes.
Terrific for that. Really terrific for that.
Oh, that's amazing. I mean, it's amazing. And one thing that I found truly fascinating that you just mentioned with Qigong is how you can target organs for particular afflictions.
Yes.
That is so methodical. And it's so, I mean, I can't begin to fathom, Danielle, the amount of study and the amount of just research early in Eastern medicine, I would imagine, that came to this conclusion that these organs are related to certain afflictions.
Right. And that's the whole system of acupuncture, or traditional Chinese medicine.
Yeah.
They work completely that way. And it's so interesting because when you go to a Chinese medicine doctor or an acupuncturist, and they will say to you, what's going on in your life? Mm-hmm. What are you feeling? How's your stress? How's your you know, digestion. Are you sleeping okay? How are your menstrual cycles? Like, they ask all these personal things.
Yeah.
Then they will tell you, okay, I think you have some kidney chi deficiency. We need to work on strengthening the kidneys, or you have blood stagnation and we need to work on the circulation and move the blood throughout the body. Well, qigong is like doing acupuncture to yourself. So for someone with fibromyalgia as well, their circulation really isn't so great. So this really helps in that area. And that's how you start to get the energy back, because you're moving the blood throughout the body. You're moving everything. And a lot of us have all this stagnation, and that's why we can't feel well. And to be able to move everything, it frees up our body to start to be able to heal again, rather than just feeling in that stuck place. And that's where I was. I was very, very stagnant. I had a lot of pressure in my head. I was dizzy all the time. Mm-hmm. And I needed to bring the chi down. I needed to bring it down to my feet. And so doing these kind of movements really helped me so much. And I mean, I have an appreciation for medicine. It's not that I'm not for doctors. I've worked in clinical practice almost my whole life in medicine, you know, in clinics. So I understand that, but I think there's such an element missing that we can do so much healing for ourselves. Mm-hmm. And it shouldn't be that every time that someone has a flare of whatever is ailing them, that they freak out like, oh no, I have to make an appointment with the doctor. When's my appointment? For 2 weeks. What am I doing? This is like, you have tools now that you can actually start to help with your healing on your own. You can move into a posture, be like, okay, I'm going to hit my stomach and work on building up the intestines. Like, and you start doing these things on your own. And that's what started happening to me. I was like, oh yeah, you know, I have a little bit of a migraine, or oh, I'm a little fatigued. I'm going to go do this exercise, and made such a difference.
Wow. That's incredible. And I can see that. I can see that. That makes all kinds of sense, Danielle. As you were mentioning that, one thing that came to my mind was at the start of the pandemic, you know, March of 2020 and the shutdown, right? So we weren't shut down, but we changed to remote working, right, from home. And so, you know, it's so easy when you work from home to just crawl out of bed, crawl across the hall to your office,
get
on your computer. And to me, you know, that's not fulfilling. And it's and you're not really starting off with your mind right. You're not starting off optimal, in an optimal disposition to start your day by crawling out of bed and crawling across the hall. So, you know, I came up with these certain stretches and exercises. Okay. It wasn't yoga or anything like that, but, you know, it's just some calisthenics, I guess. And
it doesn't matter. That's really something, you know, it's so important to have your rituals like every day. And, you know, it's like, whether it's yoga, whether it's qigong, whether you're just getting up stretching, whether it's just getting sunlight, you know, for a few minutes.
Yeah. No, for sure. It is. And, you know, I felt refreshed. I felt, you know, I mean, psychologically, you know, I felt like my mind was right. And so to this day, I call it, you know, I tell my wife, I got to get my mind right. I'll be in here for about 25, 30 minutes, you know, and so forth. One thing that I had a question for you, it's regarding energy, you know, chi. And so to me, I mean, whether it's Eastern medicine or Western medicine, Eastern practices, Western practices, energy is real. Energy is universal. Energy is common. And I don't know, maybe it was me, but the word energy or even chi would give an inference or an impression of an Eastern practice. But I can't help but think in the clinical world of Western medicine, they have to consider energy as part of how the body works, what toxins are in the body that can be worked out. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
So it's starting to become recognized more in an allopathic medical practice, which means like traditional medical practice.
Yeah.
really hear much talk of energy other than like the mitochondria in the body, which produce energy and that sort of way, but not like building up your own energy, like from a spiritual perspective. And, you know, right. yoga, they call it prana and Tai Chi and Qigong. It's like Qi in Eastern philosophy.
Yeah.
But there is a lot of talk now of the nervous system, which you hear a lot in the functional medicine space, mm-hmm. and how when our energy is not right, we are living in this sympathetic state, the fight or flight, yeah. versus the parasympathetic, which is more the rest and digest. And that's kind of an emerging space where people are talking about now how that's so important. And it really is. And this helps to regulate the nervous system. And I think people are looking for all types of ways to do that with energy. And sometimes, a lot of times they're using supplements to do that, or they'll say, sit in front of a red light, that'll give you energy. And, but that's not building up your own energy. It's like taking something to be able to produce a response. Whereas when you're actually doing these movements on your own, you're creating such a different, it's like next level healing. It's like for me, when I was not feeling well and I had every biohacking tool you could potentially think of. I mean, you just should see my house between the red light, the infrared sauna, the cold plunge, like all that kind of stuff I had going on, but nothing worked as well as actually building up my own energy and doing it on my own. And I think that's where people really get the healing.
Wow. That is crystal clear in my eyes, Danielle. It really is, because these external devices and everything, you know, I guess they can generate some sort of energy or you get something out of it, but it's not as enriching, I guess, as the energy that you build up by actual movement right. and doing something.
And to add to that, I was speaking with a client yesterday and he was talking to me about doing psychedelics and saying, you know, do you think that would be a good thing for me? I heard it's good for the nervous system. It could release trauma. And, you know, I don't have a judgment against it either way. I think if someone wants to do it, fine. But the point I was making is that you have to have a vessel to be able to receive like all this light and energy. And, you know, when you're going through maybe a psychedelic experience, it's like you can do it, but it's not natural. It's like you're taking something and then you're experiencing it. But after that happens and you try to recreate that, it's difficult because you haven't grown to that place where you can do this on your own. When you're doing these type of practices, you're growing so much spiritually, and it's also opening up your body that you're able to do it on your own. You don't need to take anything. It's just something that you can do. And that's where I think the benefit is, rather than waiting for, you can go anywhere, you can travel, you could do wherever you are. This is within you. So that's why I think it's so powerful.
Oh, incredibly powerful. I mean, it's what you can generate for yourself to give and receive all within yourself.
Yes. Yes.
Absolutely fascinating. Absolutely.
And where I was when I was, not well and started off with the Tai Chi and Qigong. Now I am doing the external martial arts. I built up enough strength that I have been practicing Kung Fu for the past year doing Wing Chun, which is a very external form. And that's what Bruce Lee is known for. But I'm able to do that now. And it's one of my passions. And that's because I built up so much energy that I went from chronic fatigue to be able to do that. And so it works. Definitely works.
I see. So, I mean, is it safe to say, well, maybe it's not, but I just want to know your take on this. The slower arts and the slower practices can really advocate for inner healing to a point where the more physical and maybe faster practices that generates considerable energy as well. And, you know, physical differences, but you had to work up to that, right?
Yes. And I still do Tai Chi and Qigong every day because I think I would probably burn out if I just did the Kung Fu on its own without doing this. So it complements any practice. So for me, I just wanted to take the martial arts even further and learn other disciplines.
Yeah.
But let's say they're a long distance runner or they, you know, do whatever kind of sport that requires a lot of endurance. Mm-hmm. this just helps their capacity to be a better athlete and to not burn out as quickly. Because especially like once you hit 40, 50 years old, you really want to, in my opinion, I think having restorative exercises as part of your routine are important. You know, you're different, your hormones are different, and it's like you don't want to beat yourself into the ground. So it's good to have this in your toolbox as something to do with age. Yes, a young person would benefit as well, but it, you know, I'm over 40, and when I turned 40, I was kind of like, I don't want to like run myself into the ground. I want to have a lot of health and strength. And also I think it keeps you looking younger, honestly, people who work out too hard and you can see it on their face. Like, just sort of, like, you know, it's kind of good to just like be in your body. And that's where I want to be in my body and just be in my health and focus on the health aspects rather than, you know, like overtraining.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And I love how you mentioned, you know, the Kung Fu and the Tai Chi and Qigong, how they complement each other, right? Yeah. It really results in you being, you know, more rounded from an inner health and a discipline perspective.
Yes.
Yeah. Fantastic. We were talking about Tai Chi for a minute, and like you said a few minutes ago, younger people can benefit from that. When I was younger, I used to associate Tai Chi with the elderly and people practicing that, older people practicing that. Yeah. However, as a teenager, I was fascinated by it because I love the motions, you know, they're slower, they're methodical, and they're smooth. And I love the motions. And I also learned, and I'm not immersed in this, but I also learned that there is a mental aspect of being in the present moment as you are practicing or as you're doing these moves, especially as a group. And so I wanted to ask you, you know, could a younger person benefit from this? Let's say their hyperactivity, they're constantly nonstop, or maybe they're, I don't know, ADHD or something, but something to help them slow down and focus. Would something like this benefit them in that way?
It would absolutely benefit them if they had the capacity to,
yes,
to be able to stop and slow down. But if they did, Tai Chi is still Kung Fu. It's just a slower version, but it is a martial form, meaning that martial means war. And and basically when Tai Chi was developed, it was used for combat and self-defense. There's a really great movie. It's with Jet Li. I'm trying to think of the name of it. And he's an actor and he's a martial artist. And he is in this film and you see Tai Chi opening the beginning of the film. And then there's this villain. And at the end of the movie, they're getting into this fight. And this other guy is like a serious Kung Fu dude. And now you have Jet Li who wanted to soften his Kung Fu. And you see him like practicing and he's meditating. And as he's pulling his hands out, you see like the trees blowing and the leaves going in circles and he's cultivating his energy. And at the end, he just like beats the crap out of this guy. And this guy's like, what is this form that you do? And he says, it's Tai Chi, you know? And it's like, really hurt somebody with Tai Chi. It's just that it's not usually used in that martial, combative way, but it's definitely can be used as a fighting form. It's just getting the patience to learn to do it slowly. And I think so many people, I've met with teachers that are so stuck on the choreography of it.
Yeah.
Not getting the essence of building the chi. And I have an amazing teacher, Sifu, that's how you would say it. Mm-hmm. And he's very much into really feeling the movements and really, he's full of chi, Sifu Gary Tong. When I practice with him, it's like you feel his energy from like, he parks his car, he comes over to like, I feel him walking towards me in the park. I don't even
know. Wow.
And I feel him like he's got so much chi, and he really has you get into it and make sure that you're moving in a meditation and you really feel it. So you want to get to that point where it just becomes such a part of you that when you're moving, you just really feel it. So yes, for hyperactivity and all of that for kids, if you can get them to get into it, absolutely. It's just, you know, it's like kids doing yoga. Like maybe they'll do it. Right. Definitely benefit.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like they can. And to maybe progress this example a step further, let's say a young adult who has a very, very fast paced, active lifestyle and, would Tai Chi be a common practice to help them slow down, or is there some other activity that they must do, as a conduit, I guess, to help them slow down to do Tai Chi?
I mean, they could go right into it and see. I mean, once you learn the postures, they're challenging and if you have a really good instructor, they'll show you the martial application, meaning like if you're doing a certain pose or posture, they'll show you, they might take your arm and say, okay, if I was grabbing your arm or if I had you in a headlock and then you spread your arms out like this, which might be like a posture, how that would, what that application would be. And once they saw what the martial application of this Tai Chi movement was, and it made sense in their mind, then I think they could get into it. And you could see how it applies as self-defense. Gotcha. So it's really, and then once you can do it well, I mean, the forms are just beautiful.
They look beautiful. And by the way, I am familiar with Jet Li. I mean, international actor and super martial artist. I've seen a couple movies with him, three actually. I'm sure he has a lot more. But yeah, very familiar with Jet Li. Wanted to ask you now about Soul Hacker. I love the name, by the way. It's a cool name. And I have, I guess, an initial impression of what it's about when I hear the name. But I wanted to ask you, you know, how did you come up with the name and what is the main idea, or let's say the statement, the mission statement behind that name?
Well, I think a lot of people are familiar with biohacking, especially health seekers.
Yeah.
And the biohacking world, while it has merit, and I think there's a lot of good things, you know, people who are not familiar with biohacking, maybe people are trying to hack their own biology through doing things, taking lots of supplements, infrared sauna, red light therapy, getting up first thing in the morning, like all, you know, jumping in a cold plunge or whatever the next trend is. And yes, those things can be good, but I find that biohacking is good for a healthy person who wants to be healthier. Mm-hmm. But for someone like myself, it was very frustrating because I wasn't well. So when I would jump in a cold plunge or do an infrared sauna with my frazzled nervous system and being so sick, I would go into bed. Like it would actually just make me stay in bed for like 2 weeks. Like my body couldn't handle all the biohacks. So it was not hacking. It wasn't giving me a hack to like live better and feel better.
Yeah.
Really robbing me of my energy. And I found that people with chronic illness couldn't do all the biohacking. And also a lot of the biohackers feel like, oh yeah, if I keep doing this, I can live to be like 120 or 150 or 180. And I think they're forgetting about the essence of the soul. And like, there's so many elements. We're mind, body, spirit, you know, it's not, we're not body, we're not robots. And I think a lot of the biohacking communities become robotic. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm a person of faith. And listen, it doesn't matter to me what religion somebody is, or even if you're religious, but having a belief in something, whether it's a universe or a higher power. And for me, it is a higher power.
Right.
But I think in my opinion, I feel like that is so critical to healing and really being in touch with the soul and really being able to listen to your gut and knowing what your body needs and following your intuition and tuning into that. And the healthier you are and the more regulated your nervous system is, the more you are able to heal. And so Soul Hacker for me was really just getting into the essence of the soul and hacking that. And what are the tools that we can get more connected to our soul? And That was the way it came to be. And what I've found is that the things that I practice, and, you know, like I said, not everyone believes in God, and that's okay. But, you know, I wake up first thing in the morning and I have a conversation with my creator out loud, and I let my problems go. Like, I feel like you need to have a release. Like I talk to him.
Maybe yes.
I sound crazy, but I do that.
Not at all.
And yeah. And then I have some affirming statements that I like to say that I feel like give me power in my body, whether it's about my health or whether it's about professional or my relationships. I get that. And then also then doing the martial art forms, which really get into the essence of your soul as well, like the Tai Chi and the Qigong and getting rooted. And we even do a lot of bowing, which is showing gratitude. And like all of these things are just really soulful practices. And that's just what I would like to see more of, because I think people would be a lot kinder in the world if they had more soulfulness and it wasn't just about like, oh, me, I want to live to 180 years old. Like, how can I be like, you know, how can I be the best version of myself? Like, by just making myself live longer, like,
right.
How about being the best version of yourself so you can be a better human being and like help humanity? Like
100%.
I think.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. I mean, perspective is everything, you know, and wanting to grow, wanting to improve, for the right reasons, you know, this world would be a much, much different place if everyone would do their part in asking, what can I do to become a better human being? And I don't know, in my mind, just organically in pursuing that, you know, there's an innate element within us as humans to look out for our fellow human, you know?
That's true.
Yeah.
And when you're doing these kind of practices that soften you to a degree, it's like, and you're practicing them, it's like you do this. And then if you're headed to work and like, or, you know, you're out and you're taking a ride first thing in the morning, like you're not going to be so reactive. You're not like
hot-headed
where you know, you wake up, you just have your coffee, you're out the door and you're like, your head's not on clearly. You're like, you're doing things in a more mindful way where you're just respond to the world differently and you're just like nicer. I don't know.
Yeah, no, you totally are. And that's what I, you know, that's what goes through my mind, at least, because every day I practice gratitude, you know, and appreciation. Yeah. And I wish everyone else would do that as well. And I'm not saying that I'm perfect at it, you know, but I do not take what, you know, my creator has provided for me, you know, for safety, shelter, clothing, food, right? I don't take it for granted for 1 minute, and I want to express that. And there's something about the universe and how just things around you kind of rotate when you have a certain persona about you, and energy about you, as you carry yourself through life with positivity, love, compassion, empathy, those types of things. And that's what it sounds like. That's what these practices can help us, you know, move in that direction for.
Yeah. I mean, like I'm similar to you. Like, I'm definitely not perfect. I don't have it all figured out. You know, we're all human beings and we do the best we can in this world. But I think just, you know, trying to be the best version of ourselves that we can and showing gratitude, it is really important. And you know, that's where it all starts. Like, it really all starts with gratitude, honestly. Even when I'm speaking in the morning or I'm praying or doing whatever, I like, people will say, like, because I really did pray for healing and I prayed for so many things that have happened. They say, well, you know, how come I pray and like I don't get answered? And I say, well, because it's in the way you ask for things should be in the way of doing a good deed. Like, for example, if you want to make a lot of money and you sit and you pray for money and you're like, I just want to have a lot of money, you know, so I hope that like I'm just blessed with lots of money. But if you say like, I like, please, like, can I, you know, bless me with a lot of money so I can give charity or I can do this, then you might actually end up getting that amazing job because you're making a commitment to give charity while you're receiving. So it's like in the form of doing something good. So I try to like frame things in a way that like, you know, please allow me to heal so I'm able to share with the world and help them, you know, like I think those things are important, having the gratitude and thanking and then being able to give it back.
Oh, totally. I mean, and there's that true, genuine authenticity within you, truly wanting to help other people.
Right.
Yeah. Truly wanting to help other people, you know, and then other favors and benefits may come as a byproduct. But I mean, that true, authentic desire to reach out, be outward focused and help other people, to me, like you said, right? Gratitude. It all starts with gratitude. And these wishes that people have for superficial things or to be rich and things like that, to me, that all starts with relationships. It's all tied to relationships. One example I was thinking of as you were mentioning this, Danielle, is, you know, when people take a sales job, okay, whether it's a realtor or they're selling, they could be selling cars, you know, I mean, you want to be the best salesperson, right? Well, you know, you don't just go out and start selling left and right. You have to build the relationships to establish the trust in those that you wish to purchase from you. Give them a reason to want to connect with you, to want to do business with you, right? It all starts with building the relationship. And so it all comes down to that in my view. And you put it so eloquently with helping other people, right? So I just want to commend you, and I appreciate you for sharing that insight and reinforcing that insight. You know, that we often hear, but you know, this makes it really come full circle.
Sounds like you do something very similar. So that's good.
Yeah. Well, one other question I had for you, Danielle, regarding the community is, as I've read through your information, there's a lot of tools, a lot of practices. There's different practices target different things. Some target the same thing. And, you know, when you have that arsenal, for lack of a better term, and there's so many different people with different types of chronic illnesses and even beyond that, right? Neurological disorders, I guess.
Right. Or just like,
yeah,
stressed and just not feeling rooted or
right.
I work with a lot of people who don't have anything, you know, no kind of chronic illness, but they're just completely frazzled and they just, you know, having a lot of issues just kind of coming down.
Yeah. So do you and the community help people try to determine what tools and what methods work best for them based on their current condition? Is that the idea?
That does make sense. So how I have it currently offered is I have a video series where people can work on, it's mostly Qigong. So more helps them with their getting grounded and learning these movements to be able to, as we talked about, the organs, bring circulation and that sort of thing. Yeah. And then also I have community videos where people can watch that are, whether they're interviews or podcasts or just I'm talking to them. Mm-hmm. So they can get information. This is, it's $10 a month. So really that's what they get for doing that. If someone really wants something more personalized and they want to know exactly what's for them, then they would probably end up working with me.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
It's hard to really know, like everyone's so different. So then it would probably be a consultation and we would go through that.
Gotcha. And wow, what a segue, because I wanted to know if you could share for the listeners, how can they connect with you, follow you, learn more about the great work you're doing and all that good stuff.
So my website is spelled a little different. So it's soulhacker.com, but it's soulhacker.com. Or on Instagram, I'm just always throwing up content, which is I'm at the soul hacker again with two K's.
Got you. And you said at the THE?
Yes, at the Soul Hacker. There's a Soul Hacker there, somebody, but he's some, I don't know, I think he's like a bot. I like checked it out. I'm like, that's not me.
No, that's not you. No. You're at the Soul Hacker. Yeah. Okay. On Instagram. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Well, I tell you what, Danielle, we're going to share those social media handles and web addresses in the episode show notes for the listeners' benefit. So they can click those links. They can connect with you, learn more about your great work while listening to this conversation. Danielle Pashko, I truly, truly appreciate you coming on the show, sharing your insights, giving great insights for the listeners' benefit. And I hope we can stay in touch and hopefully bring you back, in the near future sometime.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Oh, absolutely. We reciprocate. We were very grateful to have you. Hope to have you again. And I want to thank all of you for tuning in and listening. And look, you may feel like this at times, but in our daily struggles and adversities, you're not alone. You're never alone. And hope is always right around the corner. I humbly ask that you please share this show with someone you know, someone you love, who needs motivation, inspiration, and support. You know, when it all comes down to it, we're just roadies on this journey of life. But it feels good having you on the road with me. Thanks so much for listening. We'll chat again soon.
We really hope you enjoyed this episode of The Roads Rediscovery. We'd love to hear from you. Shoot us an email at roadsrediscoverypodcast@gmail.com and leave us any questions or comments you may have.